Oztech News, episode 16.
Not for noobs. Hello, this is Oztech News, a weekly Australian podcast that talks about recent tech and gaming news. Please check out our website, which has our show notes. This is at oztechnews.blogspot.com and fire off an email to us. That's at oztechnews@gmail.com as well. With us today is me, Brett James, and who's this guy over here?
Adolf Hitler.
Guten Tag.
What about the guy next to him?
Sean Bear.
Yeah, so welcome to the episode, everyone. Hey. We fought... Yeah, what's going on?
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to another edition, as we mentioned before. 16. Pushing...
Sweet 16.
Sweet 16. Have you heard of that show? You know, no. I forget who does the actual song. I think it's like Hilary Duff or something like that. But there's like a show in the States of, you know, all these chicks who have their sweet 16 better than usually like lots of rich chicks and they're all spoiled and stuff. So we have to get that.
Yeah.
Just got to get... Oh, yes. Got to get that audio clip.
What are you on about?
Don't worry.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the audio clip.
All right. I was going to say, we'll go off a bit of housekeeping. Last episode, we had a story about the PlayStation Portable. It was going to have a price cut of $50.
Yep.
Do you remember that one? Turned out it was fake, and we got caught with our pants down. So, sorry about that, guys. Pants down, point number two, the Battlefield 1.4 patch. Yeah, EA kind of shafted us on that one as well.
That's
we're
expected,
not getting
though.
That for probably another week.
That's expected, though.
Yeah.
Game patches always get pushed back. Someone gets, you know, off their high horse and they're just like, it's going to come out, man, it's going to come out. Yeah. But, and then
it didn't happen. Oh, so we'll shove on to the first topic. Did you want to...
Start us off?
Yeah.
Basically, the story is called The Big Picture, which is LCD versus Plasma TV. I haven't actually read the actual article because it's massive.
Ba-bow! Okay.
But you did, because I got this at work some days ago now, so if I did read it, I didn't really read it that much. I just thought it'd be a good story.
Okay. It's talking about how, in the last 12 months, how plasma and LCDs are selling out there in the marketplace. So, it's sort of, you look at this and you go, oh, hang on, LCDs are picking up a lot now because the technology's catching up a lot more. I was just trying to see some figures in there. They sold, God, do you remember any bits from it, by the way?
One of the main things I looked at was on the right-hand side, there's like a little toolbar, a little facts type bar, which is basically a summary of what the article's about, I assume. From memory, I think it is.
Yeah.
It basically gives a very brief introduction to the four types of major TV types, which are direct view, rear projection, front projection, and flat panel. And then gives small differences between, say, LCD and plasma, the programming, the receiver, television itself, and then there's a few other bits and pieces in there. So,
That's good. Cool. I was going to say, in the last 18 months, they were saying how LCD sales have gone up 330%, and plasma screens have gone up 283%. So as the LCDs have caught on, they've improved a lot of their main bugs. So like, what would you think of the major bugs for an LCD screen if you were to go out and buy one tomorrow to watch the footy? Or
one of the main things... people weren't buying LCDs was the ghosting feature, which was
feature.
It was a problem that had you have ghosting on screen, any fast-moving picture would basically look ghosted and it would have a trail behind it. That was improved by the some people call it refresh rate, but it's a response rate, I think. That's down to somewhat, I think it's like 2 milliseconds now. I'm not sure.
Two? That's... the PC screens are definitely getting into that kind of realm. I hope, like, I guess the other problem was size. Plasma screens have been huge, and LCDs are only just gradually catching up to, say, above 50 inches now. But, so it's all good. Generally, the gist of the story is that LCD is going to take over as the main technology if you're going to get a screen, say, Christmas, and you want it to be future-proof.
Well, just moving back a little bit more to what some of the first faults were when these TVs came out. The two major ones I remember were the first one I said, which was the ghosting, and the second was the viewing angle. A lot of people would remember when the LCDs came out that you weren't basically directly in front of the TV or of the screen, that you got weird, almost like an inverted color, like if you went into Photoshop and pressed Control I and just inverted the colors, like a lot of little teeny kids do nowadays on MySpace, etc., because they're all arty, because they're sick.
Wow.
But, that you get that type of effect. Yeah. Like, you can still see the picture and you can still make out what's on there, just the colors are all whacked right out.
Do you mean the sort of effect you get when, say, you're looking at your mobile phone and you tilt it at a funny angle and the colours go all skewed?
You could be right. I don't quite know what you're talking about, but...
Like, you're viewing the LCD on your phone at the wrong angle, so the colours
like
just...
Yeah. But obviously on a larger scale.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Some problems with plasma, which are just starting to become apparent, is that... they've got a lifetime of, I think, roughly it was a shorter lifespan compared to LCD. So they list the numbers as 40,000 for plasma hours, and LCD is 60,000, and that's getting a lot bigger each time.
I'll just read one little part of it. It's a flat panel popularity. Yep. It's something of LCD and plasma. It looks like that plasma kind of ruled the really big screens, whereas LCD are ruling like the mid-range. Mm. So I'll just read this. It's LCD screens 15 inches or less accounted for 33% of sales in 2005 and 18% in 2006. Screens 17 to 30 inches accounted for 58% of sales in 2005 and 48% in 2006. Over 30-inch LCD screens accounted for 9% of sales in 2005 and 34% in 2006. Now, with plasmas accounted for 83% of sales in the 42-inch market in 2006 and up to 79% in 2005. So you can see that the LCDs are kind of ruling that part of the market, which is... the 15 to 34, is it 15? Sorry.
That's a lot of numbers. Looking at the plasmas are around 80s, like in 2005, and they've gone up a little bit, but LCDs have gone from 9% last year to 34%.
I'm pretty sure all these figures
they're taken off.
Yeah, these surveys are all taken in the States, though. It's
where all the technology
Canada.
Comes out.
Yes, it's Canada.
Eh?
Toronto Star? Okay. Toronto? Yeah. We got this story from the Toronto Star, which obviously Toronto is in Canada.
Good on us.
For all those you don't know what the four major televisions types are, I can give you a short brief overview.
Did you say all those you?
No, all those who.
Ah, okay. Go on.
Direct view, which is the CRT, the cathode ray tube technology, which has been used for the last 50 years and has
screens. That's what you got now, most likely.
Basically, that's probably what you got now. And that size is up to about 40 inches. Your rear projection, generally pretty large, heavy analog CRTs. What is it? Screen size is a... rear projection. I'm pretty sure those are the ones that had like the plastic screens.
Yeah, they're the ones where you shouldn't use with game consoles because they can burn in, like because of the lamp being projected onto the screen.
That's right.
And where
not very common these days at all.
Nah, they're sort of on the way out.
Yeah, and then there's front projection, just tabletop or ceiling mounted projectors. Use LCD or DLP technology, screen size 30 to 100 inches. Now, 100 inches, it's about the size of, my computer screen.
What?
No, I'm joking. And then there's the flat panel, slim from front to back. they fall into two categories, LCD and plasma.
Yeah.
And everyone knows what an LCD and what a plasma TV is. They're very similar in, like, shape and look, but it's obviously the panel that's inside that makes all the difference. LCD obviously stands for, LCD stands for, liquid crystal display.
Ooh. Okay. Saved yourself.
I can't believe I said that twice. I'm just like,
yeah.
LCD stands for LCD. What? I'm just yelling
He's
at myself.
He's right, everyone.
My God.
We'll move on, do you reckon?
Yeah, moving on.
All right. This one is Vista's Aeroglass. Is it all it's cracked up to be? That's a funny title. Like, glass. Is it all it's cracked up? Cracked glass? No? Okay.
Aeroglass? Anyway. What is the Aeroglass?
Aeroglass is the theme that Vista is going to use when that comes out at the end of the year.
Oh, yeah. The theme. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you said earlier today that it was hourglass, and I was thinking about the little hourglass, the loading thing. Like, what?
Oh,
I'm
no.
Like, what the hell is this story going to be about, man?
It'll
what
be pretty interesting.
What is this going to be about? And I'm like, and then I just read it then, and I'm
it's
like, aeroglass. I think I have an XP theme that's like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, keep going.
Yeah.
Just ignore me.
Oh, don't worry, I will. Yeah. This site gives you a preview of what the theme looks like and runs down to the different kind of ways you can personalize it. For example, the taskbar, the bit at the top where you can maximize, click on file, etc. in your Windows XP.
Yep.
You can make that transparent and it's blurred. So it sort of has this really surreal effect. Looks fantastic on desktops.
Fantastic.
Other feet, yeah. It requires a beefy system, so any of these features will mean that you need a DirectX 10 or DirectX 9, sorry, capable card. So, like, a professional gaming card. Like, if you're playing good games right now, you'd be able to take advantage of it. Graphics RAM is actually useful now for the desktop. Like, it recommends you need 128 meg. So for anyone with those 64 meg cards still out there, you're probably in a bit of trouble if you want the Aeroglass look.
Aeroglass. Yeah.
It does look pretty sweet, actually. I can't
My
wait for
XP
it.
Theme is like the Windows 2000 theme, just back to normal.
Plain.
Plain.
95 style.
Plain. Yeah, 95 style, basically.
Yeah.
It's less intensive, and basically I've got an old system, so I need everything that I can get.
Yeah.
It does look. It does look hell good though. Very good.
Yeah,
it's very cheesy good. Well, that's what they're going for. Though, well, you know, Apple's copying Microsoft. Microsoft's copying Apple. It's just how well people can implement each other's, you know, ideas. Really.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, I don't know if we. I think we may have mentioned this on a previous show, but the new OS 10 Leopard. Which was
No, it was just saying
Time Machine, which is like a backup system that automatically runs in the background. The Windows version Server 2003 actually had something very similar to that. It wasn't very commercial because it was more for network admins and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But obviously, Apple's taken that idea, implemented that to you know, like the normal public, the main consumer that's going to be buying, you know, the majority of their operating systems and their computers and put it in there.
Yeah.
And that's, I agree with Apple. They should have done that. I mean, how often do you back up?
Oh, really? If it's not automated, I don't really bother.
Well, I try,
it's just too much effort.
I try back up as much as I can, but still, it seems that one or two times that you don't back up, that's the stuff that you lose. And you're like, God damn it. It's like insurance. It's like, you don't need insurance, but as soon as you get rid of it, something happens to you.
Gone. Ah, well, I'll get back on the topic, though. There was a few other things on there. You know how when you Alt-Tab, press that in XP, you get like the list of the programs at the top? That's a button down the start bar now, and when you bring that up, you get like this little neat Web 2.0 looking thumbnails of all the windows you've got. And if you move your mouse around, they get moved around in 3D somehow. And you can navigate through them.
Is there a picture of this, like a figure or something?
Yeah, page 2. So this link's in the show notes, guys, and just have a peek at it. And yeah, so it's figure G that I'm looking at.
All right.
So yeah, so you sort of get this weird, surreal kind of look at where you want to navigate.
Ah, yes, I've seen this.
So you get a clear look at all the pictures, whereas the thumbnail, you mightn't be able to read the text.
Figure F looks very similar to Mac OS X.
Apple. Yeah. The layout of the alt tab menu. Yeah. Other little touches, which are pretty good. If you try to bring up, say, a wizard of some kind, like with XP, you got a networking wizard, a window, a printer wizard, you know, all that kind of stuff. They've took out the bloat a lot more this time. If you press the add printer button, for example, you get add a local printer, add a network printer. That's what you get to straight away. You don't need to click next so many times.
Which is good. It cuts out a hell of a lot of steps.
Yeah, it stops you from falling asleep.
I mean, it's not really a huge problem for the advanced user, but, you know, my mum or, say, my dad just want to add the printer that, you know, maybe I suggested that they get the other week or something. Then they either want me to do it, but I'm not always available to do that. But adding this extra step or this extra feature that takes out those extra steps is obviously going to be a good move.
Yeah, sure. Well, that's pretty much it for that. But yeah, it's you check it out. It'll give you a good glimpse of what Vista will be like to play with when you actually get it.
Yeah, that's right. Pushing on to YouTube. Has made its way onto Good Morning America. If any of you are actually from America, you may have already seen this. I only saw this today. But basically what it is, Good Morning America, or other people might know it as GMA, they have a weekly...
What is GMA first?
Good Morning America.
Is that sort it's like Sunrise?
Yeah, Sunrise, basically.
Yeah, okay.
Sunrise is a show very similar to GMA in Australia. If anyone knows, or him.
Who's that bald-headed guy? It's the glasses.
I think they're gone now, though. No, they're not. What's his name?
No. Steve? No. John? No. Frank? Michael
Jackson?
Oh,
my God. I forget. Someone tells in an email. I'm going to remember this as soon as we stop the podcast. I can tell right now.
Okay. Anyway, that guy.
Yeah. Moving forward and not... straying off like we always do. Basically, they've got a weekly segment on the show, which is the shows and the people on the shows, top three YouTube videos. So they pick like three and they show them on the show. Obviously, they have permission from the content creators, but they don't. I'm pretty sure they don't need the content creators because once you put a video on YouTube. In the disclosure statement, basically they own what's on their site until you remove it.
Yeah. Okay. So that's all good.
So it's really good. It's good. The segment that I saw is one of the starting. I think it may have been the first show or the first segment of it, and they interviewed the makers of YouTube.
Oh wow! YouTube or the creators, content creators?
No, the actual makers of YouTube, the two guys.
Oh, yeah.
I forget if I had the thing, I would.
That's good.
Freaking remember, but I forget who the creators are.
It sounds good though, because that's sort of bringing the internet culture into the TV culture.
It's pretty much like that. Like in the States, they have TiVo, and TiVo can link to you can stream your podcast on there, so you can listen to audio podcasts.
Yeah. So what's TiVo in a nutshell?
TiVo is very much like our Foxtel Digital here. In Australia, but it basically links to the net as well, and there's a hell of a lot more like channels and stuff like that. It's not a huge. No, I don't have it.
The main draw of TiVo was that you could fast forward through ads and pause TV originally.
I don't think you can do that because I couldn't comment on that because I don't know. I wouldn't think that TiVo would let you fast forward through ads because people are paying for that as ads.
Yeah, they did kick up a big stink about it, so I'm not sure if they still let you, but when it first came out, that's why it exploded. I was like, wow, fast forward through ads.
Yes.
But, yeah. So, you like this idea?
I think it's a great idea. Great idea.
I wonder what happens if the top one of the top three videos is a porn or something with swearing
well,
in it.
That, you're not allowed to have that on. No, not YouTube's top three. It's GMA's top three. They pick it.
So,
obviously
they, pick
they would pick something pick that's you know, ones, suitable yeah. for showing people in the morning. But I feel the actual videos that they showed were, I think, do you remember the two little Chinese kids who sung like, they sing like songs together? Like, you know, Backstreet Boys, Jesus, and other crazy songs. And there was the Slowest Man on Earth video on there.
Nama Nama Man?
Yeah, that was on there. Was it some Swedish or something? He was on there as well. So a few cult short videos were on there.
I wonder how the quality converts, like, because YouTube videos are pretty poor quality compared to, say, a high-definition TV screen
YouTube
signal.
Videos are only bad res online. I'm pretty sure they can send the full res that they've uploaded to somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't think it really matters all that much because the actual, I think it's the normal video scale or ratio is 4:3 or... But the actual resolution is 800 by 600, just normal TV. So it's not that huge.
What?
Just normal TV. I don't think they view it in digital or anything like that.
You mean an SD signal?
Yeah, whatever it is.
Yeah, that's DVD resolution, 576 by something or other. And HD is something crazy like 1920 by 1080.
It would come out, you know, like normal TV quality on a digital signal or whatever. Yes. Yeah. Moving.
Cool.
Not really.
About
I just think it's a really good idea how
yourself?
The internet and TV are moving into something very close to each other. It's like every day they're moving closer to something that's going to be known as intervision. Intervision.
Intervision.
Internet.
I wonder if this means you'll have a new generation of primary school kids running around doing reenacting Leroy.
Leroy Jenkins.
Yeah, like running around not realizing that it's from World of Warcraft, but just realizing it's really funny and the sayings are crazy.
I don't know.
Yeah, it could be a good
time. I can't wait till something like TiVo hits Australia because the power that it has, the actual power that it has where you can... jump on your computer, your TV, obviously, and you can subscribe to a podcast like, say, Dig Nation or some other video podcast.
Oztech News.
So you could listen to it while you're, I don't know, making dinner or something, but because you'd rather want to subscribe to a video because it's a TV application. Yeah.
Yep.
But it just makes so close together, I reckon it's great.
Okay.
You're like, all right.
Cool. Yeah. I don't have much else to add. I agree that
move
it is
on.
Cool. Yes. Mac, you stole this one. MacBook Pro Logic boards have a quiet hardware update. This one is about Apple silently recalling, they're not really recalling, but if they get sent in for an update or if there's something wrong, such as the mooing fan noise or the sound issues they're having with their fans lately, there's a hardware update. And they need to update their Mac OS with it as well.
But they don't tell the person that's doing it that they're going to swap it. That's why it's a quiet update. So all of a sudden they're like, it works heaps better now. That's great. But they've got like a new logic board in there.
Yeah. The picture on the side looks pretty funky. Like if there's all the chips and that on it and it's all cut pretty precise. Like you can see where the fan slots in. Man, I'd hate to be a hardware tech working on the MacBook Pros.
Well,
that would be so finicky.
I guess, that's true. But it's such a great machine from what, obviously what we've seen or what I've seen, at least.
Oh, if they were cheap, I'd buy one so quick.
They're quite cheap. Compared to the Dell, top system, it's cheaper.
Mm.
And I don't think I'll ever buy a computer from Dell. I think I might buy one from Compaq.
No. Is there any other bad stores? Is Dell, Compaq? That's pretty much all the bad people, isn't it? In terms of big computer stores selling crappy stuff that you could build for half the price.
Like, disregarding laptops and just, like, holding it on desktops. The only three major
desktop
computer manufacturers that are targeting the everyday consumer is, A, you've got your Dell. I mean, they're mostly horrible. And then you've got your Compaq, also horrible. And then you have your Apples. You've got your, you know, your iMacs and stuff like that.
There's another one, actually. Does IBM sell good desktops? Oh. Like, they sell great notebooks and laptops, but I don't know if they still sell decent desktops anymore.
Yeah, I think...
But they're sort of in a different category, I guess, too.
They're not actually... Yeah. Well, yeah, I know. Well, it is their name. They're not targeting the everyday consumer, they're more targeting businesses. That's my impression. That's just my impression of it anyway.
Yeah. You don't see a leaked graphics card.
So, yeah, and which...
No, you're right.
You tell me which one you'd buy out of the three. Just disregard price for the time. Just say...
The manufacturers.
They're three top computers. Which one would you buy?
Yeah. I'd probably go for those Dell ones they were making, like that one with the flame grill pattern on it, because they hyped that up fairly well as a good gaming machine, and they actually did different stuff,
which you can't, for example,
a quad SLI.
I was just waiting for you to go, oh, I'll
why?
Buy the Apple. I'd be like, damn right you'd buy the Apple. And then you're like, oh boy, the Dell. I guess... Well, considering that Dell are now...
Yeah, I get the Dell.
They'd buy...
Realistically, I think I'd go for Apple.
I didn't expect you to go crazy, you know me. No, but Dell, considering that Dell bought...
Backpedal! Yeah. No. Yeah, you know, they got the trendy cases. They
because
got the
Dell's, every
stuff.
Dell attempt at making half a decent-looking machine, like a high-end machine, was horrible.
Yeah. Pretty much.
So most of their high-end machines now are just output through Alienware.
Yeah. You know what? Like, I've got an Antec P150 case, and, like, they got the nickname of being a fridge because it's a plain white sort of iPod-looking case. But I sort of kind of like that look compared to something with, say, a window and 50 neons on the side.
Somewhat sleek.
Yeah.
Classic.
It stands out at a LAN because... You know, there's no cases like it. They're all black.
I know, hate because, my... I have a black case, and I don't want it anymore. Take it away.
Like black is out. White is the new black.
Black only got taken over by white because of the iPod.
Yeah, pretty much. White will be out soon. Oh, well.
Apple's market share is increasing every day, I guarantee it.
I bet they
when
are.
When people like me are almost considering buying, you know... Mac laptops or whatever.
Yeah. So, you know. Move us on.
A Microsoft Happy Laser Gaming Mount by Razer Precision. This has got a pretty cool website. You may have noticed this week's title, Not for Noobs. Well, Not for Noobs is actually the website for this mouse. If you go to notfornoobs.com, you'll find that it's the new website for the Microsoft Habu, which obviously has been...
Microsoft.
It's actually partnered with Razer Precision to make a gaming mouse. I haven't really heard an actual official gaming mouse being produced by Microsoft. This one kind of looks like a generic... Microsoft mouse, but with lights on it.
Oh, come on, man. It's fully bling.
It's blinged out. I'm not denying that it's blinged. It just looks like a generic mouse with bling. It's plain. It's pretty like a matte type. It's got a shiny part for your hand. The buttons are kind of like a matte black. And then the sides look like they've got neon in it, and so does the mouse. It's got the convenient two little buttons next to... The mouse wheel, which obviously maybe to increase or decrease the DPI.
The resolution. Yeah.
Or, probably would be that. Because I have the MX518, the Logitech, and that
still got that
is
mouse.
A good mouse.
A lot of people stick with that mouse, actually,
But that's got a similar layout, but the only two things that I can't see on the mouse at the moment are the back and forward buttons, which I use constantly. And this mime...
They are there, by the way. Yeah, you can take them off, which is kind of funny.
Take off the buttons?
Yeah, the side buttons.
Anyway, and the other button I have on here is like an Alt-Tab type feature. Like you press it, and I can Alt-Tab between... It's like...
Oh, I think I had that. That was really annoying, because I'd accidentally press it when I was in a game.
It would Alt-Tab you out.
And you... Yeah, you got to tab back to the game. Oh. No.
I think but, the mouse looks good.
Yeah, I reckon it's great.
I want to see it in person, though, because it looks heavily Photoshopped to
yeah.
me.
Yeah, definitely. That glow.
What do you think of
it? I reckon it's pretty good. I like the way how Microsoft have partnered with Razer for their sort of design. Like, the hardware inside it looks like it's the same as the Razer Copperhead and the Logic.
That's what I think it is. I think it's just a Copperhead inside with a Microsoft shell.
Yeah, or the Logitech G5 also uses the same hardware, and that's the mouse I have now. Very durable, very good. So it's got the big Teflon feet, which is almost exactly the same too. Yep, and it says something about a thin, flexible wire for its cord. So maybe that means there's a really narrow cord which won't get stuck on anything, which might be a little feature.
Maybe.
But it doesn't come out till October, and it's going to be costing $69, which that roughly 100, you reckon, Australian?
Sorry, what was it?
$69.
Well, I'm just going to Google. Check that.
We do that every... No?
$69.
We do this every week.
Australian dollars. No, we don't. We just done it last week. Because you noobed yourself. You're like, I think it might cost around $250. And I'm like, bull...
Frog.
That's what I said. I'm just, there's no way it was going to be $250. It was like $195 or something.
Yeah. Any luck?
$90.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
$90?
That's not bad. For a new mouse.
I bought my 518 for like $50.
Yeah.
$60 at a swap meet or something like that.
You want the best. Come on. The G5 now is around 80.
At the end
80.
Of the day,
yeah.
These mice are actually used for RPG. I mean, not RPG. FPA. FPA.
What? FPA?
FPA. FPS. Oh my god. I was looking at my keyboard and I was just looking at the A for some reason. I said A.
Fantastic. So these are top-end mice, all of these, aren't they? Like, unless you're really wanting a really good professional, good experience, then, you know, you can probably just get by for cheaper mouse. And you might as well get a good mouse pad while you're at it as well. You know, bugger off with that silly wood surface veneer finish with gloss.
Well, that screws your actual mouse feet up or mouse sliders up anyway.
Yeah, you know, it gets dirt, you know. So, do yourself a favour, buy a mouse pad. Don't get a crappy $2 one from Dick Smith, please. I think I've got that off my chest now. Move on, do you think?
I think you may have.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh, I was just going to say, that website is real, not for noobs.com.
Oh my god, I love the mouse.
Not fur, four.
That's pretty aggressive on Microsoft's half, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like it was a viral marketing site before it actually got released, so that would have been hilarious to try and figure out what Microsoft is trying to do with Not For Noobs.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll move on. And this one is Secrets of the Pirate Bay. This is kind of good because it's about a pretty good website called thepiratebay.org.
We all love it, don't we?
Yeah, it recently got taken down by the police and then came up 3 days later. As a little trivia bit, when it came back up, they had something about the IP table, or when you did a DNS or a ping to it, the IP that came back was Bite My Shiny Metal Ass.
Bite My Shiny Metal Ass.
Right.
Yeah, or something like the RIAA and MIAA sucks. And yeah, so I thought that was funny. They sort of bit back at them so harshly. So you... Like, can you know anything about this story?
No, not at all.
Great.
You gave it to me today.
Did I?
I like just before the show, you actually gave it to me.
Oh, yeah. It's about how...
It actually has a link to the Pirate Bay.
No.
Wide news, like it...
Yeah.
It has a link to
the real Pirate Bay, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I see what you mean.
Shouldn't they be a bit careful in doing that?
Maybe.
Like pointing people to a pirating site?
Yeah. They were saying how in their last census that 1.2 million out of their 9 million people there say that they engage in, quote, file sharing, unquote. So, you know, they're saying out in Sweden it's pretty outbreak and prevalent that they openly pirate stuff. kind of things.
Yeah.
So,
file sharing.
Yeah. So, the rest of the story talks about how, when they originally went down, they had a guy, who was it? 27-year-old Peter, 28 Frederick Neige. Okay, these names are a bit weird. But they got some of the backups from the server, fled from the site while the FBI were busy shutting off all the cameras, and got it back and going within 48 hours. So that was kind of nifty how they done that. And at the moment, they're talking about how they're making it really redundant.
You screwed that up, by the way. Sorry to bust you in.
Oh, cool. What did I do?
You screwed up that 20. You said, was it? Oh, no, maybe you didn't. 27-year-old Peter, Frederick Neige, 28, and Gottfried Safthon,
yeah.
21. Right, sorry.
He's really, yeah. What a youngie.
So, well, that's pretty damn young. Pirate Bay would have been up for what, two years? 1 year, 2 years?
Nasty.
They're
talking about how they're going to make things more public now, especially how things such as if you go to Pirate Bay's legal threats page, they're going to boost that up a fair bit. Where if someone sends them a letter asking them to take down their software they're hosting up there, they'll write back a funny letter. For example, my all-time favorite one is where a software company writes about how they've got a copy of their fonts listed on that site. So Pirates Bay reply back in a letter, each saying politely that they will not take it off, and they can't because they're in Sweden. And each word is one of their pirated fonts.
Do you know what Linotype is it?
Yeah, Linotype. Yeah, that were the people asking about it. So
Still 404ing.
Yeah. Oh well.
Those links are still. Damn it.
The links. Yeah, I'm just trying to see if there's anything else on there.
I don't think there's any more.
But, BitTorrent's definitely taken off.
BitTorrent, for sure.
Oh, I also wanted to say, do you remember last week how we talked about how that router that kicks butt, the one with the BitTorrent server built into it?
Yep.
Yep, that's on PC case gear. It just came out yesterday. And it's $439. $439. So, it's a little bit cheaper than I thought it would be. For something that full-featured, like a little mini-computer, practically.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all good. That's pretty much all I got to say about it, though. It's a story about Pirate Bay coming back from getting shut down by the cops and coming back up. Yay?
Yeah, they're owning, but I think they're going to get too cocky at some stage and something's going to happen. They're going to get royally screwed.
Yeah, do you think they're going to slip up?
No, I just think something's going to happen. I just think they're going to get too cocky. Laws change. And if it changes, they're screwed.
Oh, yeah.
But I guess they've got, they obviously have a backup plan because obviously when they got their servers taken down, they just moved to, Norway or something?
Yeah, or somewhere. God knows, I'm not going to agree to anything. But, yeah,
have been Norway.
Yep. Oh, okay. All right. I guess we'll move into something else this week. Might as well start it off.
This is kind of a funny story, this one.
A what?
Funny. It's actually kind of... It's very... What?
I think you're reading the wrong one. I'll go ahead. This is... Okay. Yeah. The game Fear came out last week. It was released on, Friday. Fear Combat.
Maybe I purposely left this one out. You didn't leave put a link on it, you dick.
There is no link because we're doing it. This is basically a review of the Fear Combat game, which came out, me first impressions, and hopefully you go download it, because it's 1.8 gig. Anything free is good, though. Like, remember Enemy Territory?
That was a good game.
Yeah, anything free is good. So,
Do you know how big it is?
The game?
Yeah, like to download.
1.8 gig.
What?
Yeah. Oh, well.
To download?
Yeah.
Can you pause it?
Yeah.
Can you stop it and... Can you torrent it or something?
Yeah. Duh.
Jesus Christ, man. Massive.
Here's the review anyway. G'day everyone, I'm here today to talk about the newest game that came out for freeware, basically. The game is called Fear Combat, game by VU Games, published by Sierra. You can download it right now, you can play it for free and everything. So I'll give you a bit of background of what's been going on with it. The original Fear was a single and multiplayer game. Had a good single player, really good story, basically kind of horror kind of thing, so that was neat. Then VU Games just on Friday, well, the 18th of August, released a multiplayer version of the game for free that anyone can download and play. So it's really interesting to play. Some simple stats about it. It's very much like Call of Duty in its feel of how it plays. The guns are very accurate. A headshot will kill someone straight away, a la Counter-Strike, which is pretty good. You can run really fast. You can holster your gun down, run even faster. So it's very action-based. You could imagine it almost a bit like an action movie playing out. There's things in the game like very advanced physics. You might shoot, be in a shootout and like shoot buckets down and everything like that. Kung Fu in the game is pretty useful. With just the right click of the mouse, you can do things such as spin kicks, sliding kicks, basically anything with kicks and punches. Any of those moves kill your opponent in one hit, so you look pretty cool and you get great bragging rights. It's a lot smaller, the game, than your typical kind of match. I'd say the maps themselves would be a fair bit smaller than the Counter-Strike map, typically. A lot smaller than a Battlefield 2 map. They're pretty focused matches, and it's good for 2 to 16 players. So, yeah, I'll hammer again that this game is for free. You can download this right now and play it. It's 1.8 gigabytes, and all you have to do is go to the website, which is www.joinfear.com. You go there, download the program, and you sign up for your free CD key so you can play online and Punkbuster doesn't detect you. Oh, Punkbuster picks you up fine. So there's no real cheats. It's a pretty recent game. It's got high-end graphics, but you can scale it down pretty well too. Cool things are, for example, if you throw a grenade, there's this big distortion field that comes up around you and everything. Specs-wise, it's got 10 multiplayer game modes, 19 different multiplayer maps, which is a lot. Like, you think back to Enemy Territory, which was the last free game that came out, really, of note, and it had 6. And 12 different weapons. So, hopefully that's convinced you to buy the game, well, to download and play the game. There's a lot of good things about it. For example, professional-wise, there might be a Game Arena ladder coming up soon. You could join a clan, and I'm guessing there might be, say, 5v5 kind of matches. So you could just get a couple of mates together or join someone else's clan and start playing with that. And it's pretty good. But I thought I'd put together some tips so you can hit the ground running if you decide to go get the game. When you're in the game, press the H key to holster your gun. This makes you run faster and you're able to use your kung fu moves still. So this will let you, say, sneak up to someone behind their back, or it'll also let you run at someone who's still coming at you or get away real fast. In general, though, gunfights are over pretty quickly if you're out in the open, just shooting in plain sight. Grenades, the G key, very useful. They're very powerful and can break people out from their cover. That works well as well. The Z key is the health kit key. These look like little red health kit packs around the maps. There's black ones, which are actually fixed in one spot. If you stay near them, your health regenerates. I could see those being useful in team games. Using your different kick moves are pretty useful. For example, a C, forward C, and right mouse button at the same time does a crouch kick. which is pretty good. In general, I like doing the running kick, which is jumping and then pressing right click while you're in that jump and moving forward. That makes you do like a kick to the head. The sliding kick's good because it makes you hard to hit. And it looks pretty cool as well. But that's about it. So, thanks for OzTech News for this Fear Combat Review exclusive. I hope you get the game and have a good one. And that's the Fear Review for you. Hopefully you thought that was pretty useful. It's always good making original content like that. It's fun, and well, I had fun playing it and recording it in the background.
I like Fear. Fear's cool. I mean, I don't like it. Yeah, I like it.
You haven't played it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, man. Bring us on to our next story, then.
Weird Al says, don't download this song. It was kind of a bit coincidental that it kind of nearly appeared straight after the Pirate Bay story. Weird Al Yankovic is making a song, or a song on his newly released album, straight out of Linwood. He has a titled track called Don't Download This Song, which I'm just going to get downloaded because I think it's on his MySpace. And on his MySpace, you can actually download it. So it's kind of funny how he's... I'll read the actual story on Slashdot. Known geek and comedy singer-songwriter Weird Al Yankovic has released the first song from his new album, Straight Outta Linwood, for a free... On his MySpace page, the track is entitled Don't Download This Song and tells of the dangers of illegally downloading music from file-sharing sites. Hits MySpace page is... I'm getting feedback in my headphones. what's going on?
What are you doing?
Okay.
Yeah, I can hear.
Yeah, I know, but his site just started playing in my ears. Like his MySpace site.
Okay. I'll quote some of the lyrics, don't download this song. Even Lars Ulrich knows it's wrong. That was quite funny because he was from... What was that band that were against Napster? It was heavy metal band. Bugger.
Metallica.
Yeah, that's it. And he was a real idiot. So ironic, very funny. I kind of like Weird Al songs. Like, some of them are pretty good.
I don't.
Nah.
I hate him.
Not even funny?
He's a toss. No, I don't find that type of stuff funny.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Hey, but his album, he's got this really smoking car in it.
All right. Well, don't download this song.
In the album art, there's a sweet-ass car.
Yeah? All right.
Oh, well. Actually, it's funny. It's actually kind of funny. On his MySpace profile, he has four songs on it.
Yep.
All right. First one is Don't Download This Song, which actually you can download.
Yes.
But the other three you can't. So anyone that says, don't download this song, you can download.
He looks really creepy.
He is creepy.
Yeah.
But he makes a lot of money out of being creepy.
Yeah. Oh, well. Move on, then.
Moving forward.
Hey, me.
Retro... What? You want it?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Retro 80 games... Retro 80? Retro 1980 games made with stop motion in the kitchen. This is pretty funny. It's a short video. Give it a watch. They recreate certain scenes from games. For example, they start off with... I might replay the video so I get the sequence right, but, oh, God, what was it? Cupcakes, Centipede, I think it is?
Yeah.
Yeah, where there's...
And then it moves on to Frogger.
Yep, so these...
And then it moves on to...
Asteroids.
Pac-Man?
No, Asteroids.
Asteroids.
Space Invaders.
Asteroids, Pac-Man, and then Space Invaders.
Yep. So, they're not just a recreation. It's not just a game, though. It's like a stop motion redone using kitchen utensils. For example, the centipede one is cupcakes, and he's shooting that, and some other weird blue jello balls, and he's shooting it from a salt shaker, shooting candles up at it.
Really good. Yeah. I really suggest that you guys check this out.
It's pretty good. It's not a video of the link, week kind of thing, but it's pretty funny.
It's just well done. It would take down a hell of a lot of time to do.
Yeah. Like the Pac-Man one, for example, is a pizza. Pac-Man is a pizza.
And that's
the,
cool.
Yeah, and the ghosts are a piece of cloth with eggs for eyes. Like literal eggs. So it's kind of neat, I like it. Is that it, do you reckon, or...?
I think that is it.
Jeez, we're going to have a long... This will be a long episode.
Yeah, I think so.
Yep.
This week's videos of the week...
Alright. Do you want to show us your one first?
Okay. So here's the deal.
Here's the deal.
Elite Jeopardy, my one is titled, and basically what it is a teenage Jeopardy in the States, and you get to wager a certain amount of money.
Yep.
To answer a question, obviously.
Okay.
I forget what, I think it's like a bonus round type thing, isn't it? Or
God knows. I only know that show from Celebrity Jeopardy with Alex Trebek. Yeah.
Basically, it's got a bunch of teenagers on it or whatever. And they like, oh, some guy's like, oh, how much do you wager? I wager $3,200. Next man's like, yeah, I wager, you know, $1,700. Next guy goes, I wager $1,337. Like, $1,300? That sounds pretty weird. And meanwhile, the crowd's going crazy and the guy's basically pissing himself laughing. He's so funny. So,
yes, wager? $1,337. Interesting. He winds up at...
For all of you who don't know, that's obviously $1,337 is leet. It's the word leet.
Yeah.
And for all of you who don't know, leet is a type of internet language, otherwise known as leet speak.
Yep.
Just
as a...
Or someone may be leet.
Yeah.
Otherwise, which is obviously derived from the word elite.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was just quite a funny video. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got a story about when we were back in uni, we had someone who, some guy had their name as Leet, as in 1337, and a guy just randomly joined the game and said, who's 1337? And it took us a while to click what he's actually talking about, but he was referring to the guy called Leet. So that was a pretty good pants-wetting moment.
You have a video also?
Yeah, I do. I had to pick through a few of them this week, but the one I chose was the acoustic version of Outkast's Hey Ya. It's weird. It's like there's this hit guy and he sings a Hey Ya song. And it's like a totally different tone to it. Like, it's all sort of more low beat, do you think? Like, what did...
For all of you who don't know what the Hey Ya song is by Outkast, it's the song which is most... likely known by its second half, which is where they're like, shake it like a Polaroid picture, and he's like, shake it, yeah, anyway, it's that song, but it's an acoustic version, and it's kind of sounds quite sentimental and lovey-dovey type song.
Yeah, it does.
But it fits well, and it's nearly in time with the actual Outkast version.
It is, actually. Like, at the start, the Outkast guy's singing the words, and it looks like he's saying it.
Well, basically, it goes from the guy who's actually singing it to the actual film clip of Outkast doing it.
Yeah.
And he's always basically lip-syncing. Quite funny, I liked it. I actually did like it. Nearly as much as I liked mine, not quite nearly.
No. Alright. No tip this week, so you can send us off.
No tip.
Proud. Wow.
Fine. be sure to check out our website, guys, at austechnews.blogspot.com. And subscribe to our podcast. Download episodes as much as you can if you want. And also tell your friends about us. Once again, we're going to have to push forward all you guys. We're loving your work so far. We're getting a lot of good feedback. And we're going to get a few subscribes, which is really good to see. But we don't want to stop here. We want to push that forward a little bit further. We want to get the subscriptions rolling in.
So, what's the links and
for
stuff?
All of you that don't know, this week we were featured on feedburner.com on the front webpage of that. Brett has been quoted on there.
Yay!
And there also is a link there that goes to our site, which is obviously oztechnews.blogspot.com. And it's obviously proved to be quite helpful to our subscribers.
Yeah.
Also, if you feel like sending us an email for any reason, for any of the show's stories or any of the funny
just
videos,
anything.
Even just your opinion of the podcast, it would be really great to hear. The email address for us is oztechnews@gmail.com.
Cool.
So it'd be really great to hear from you guys. I'd like to announce that we have just, I just seriously made this site, I don't know how long ago. It was an hour ago.
Yeah.
We now have a MySpace page. I'm not going to tell you the link yet at all. But
it might be in the show notes. If you get
it might be in the show notes if you like it, because I haven't really done anything to it. We have zero friends. And the first thing I've done when I got it was delete Tom. And so
Who's
we
Tom?
Have zero friends. Tom! Tom is the main guy of MySpace. He's
What's he like a friend whore?
No, he's the... Yeah, so when you make a profile with MySpace, he's the first friend you get.
Wow.
And you have one friend. His name's
sad,
Tom.
Sad, sad man.
Hey, he's probably a rich, sad, sad man.
Oh, well,
But, so, yeah, we'll let you guys get up into that stuff, and, we'll see you guys next week for another, episode of Oztech News.
So, have a good one.
See you guys next week, guys. I hate f***ing fear! Fear s***! I don't hate it! I mean, I do hate it! F*** you all!
You don't hate it. That's fantastic.